Welcome to the debrief here. It's Dave O'Neill. I'm standing on a street in London. Yeah, give it the berries. With another Aussie, comedy legend Ray Badron. How are you, Ray?
Oh, I'm very well, thanks, Dave. Comedy legend's a bit much, but yeah, thank you very much.
I get veteran these days, which is, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
A hack, but we've just been, I've been watching you.
Military term.
What is it?
It's a military term, or a veteran, I don't know.
Yeah, true. Well, my dad's a veteran, he was in a war, but I've never been in a war. Well, I've been in the comedy trenches, but I'm with Ray Badron, who is a former... Well, I didn't know you're from Wollongong.
Yeah, I'm from Wollongong, originally.
And we've just been... I've been watching you do a gig at the Angel Comedy Club.
Yeah.
When you're hilarious.
Oh, thanks, mate, yeah.
Because it's sort of free to get in.
Yeah, it is.
Which could mean anything.
Yeah.
But you are easily the best on the bill.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
The comics were pretty good. They're okay.
Oh, that's very nice of you, Dave. I very much appreciate that compliment.
So we're going to get in a cab, because I normally do this podcast in my car, but we're going to get a cab.
Can I say that if you're listening, he's not sparing any expense. I suggested an Uber, which is probably half the price of a black cab in London, but... Dave spares no expense on this podcast.
I like London cabs, but last time I was here, I did one with Felicity Ward. It cost me about $100 at least. It was, anyway, good on it.
Converting.
Right, here we are. And where are we in? What's this suburb?
We're in Angel.
Yeah, it's quite kind of nice, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
All right, we'll get in the cab and we'll talk more with Ray Badron, everyone. Okay, look him up. I'm trying to actually remember the first time I met you. The first time I met you wasn't that long ago. It was at the... European bar.
On the balcony
of the European bar. But I remember the first time I saw you was on TV when I was watching, it must be Sydney Comedy Festival on the Comedy Channel. I'd heard of you, but I'd never seen you, but you were very funny. And how long have you been doing comedy, right?
I have been doing comedy for 10 years. I've been doing it professionally for about five years probably.
Yeah, and you were very funny.
Oh, thanks, mate.
It was very funny. I can't remember your routines, but...
No, I can barely remember myself, so...
All right, we'll get a cab.
All right.
Going for a drive, do a little gig, then drive back with the chat. It's called the debrief. It's called the debrief. It's called the debrief.
And Wapping Limehouse, sort of thing, just off the highway there, opposite the Holiday Inn, if you know that.
Holiday Inn at the highway, just over at Limehouse.
Yeah, opposite that, yeah.
This is fantastic. We've got in a cab, we've got a female taxi driver.
Yeah, I know.
Which I haven't had in London before, which is great.
That's an electric taxi.
That's an electric taxi.
Oh. How do you fill up an electric taxi?
You don't.
No, but how do you charge it? By where? They've got the chargers on the street now, everywhere. And wow.
Yeah, you can. I've talked about getting an electric car, but if I do a gig in Albury, they've got charging places in most regional centres now, Ray.
Oh, I had no idea. I did not know that.
So, Ray Badron is. We're in a cab now, and. He, of course, started... Did you gigs in Wollongong? Or?
I did a few gigs in Wollongong, but not
many. With
Stu?
Stu with the workers? At the workers?
I don't think he was running it then, but yeah, I did a few then. I actually did my first gig at a gong show at the Laugh Garage in Parramatta.
Yeah, that Darren Sanders used to run. Yeah.
And it was a gong show, and I stupidly... I just thought, because I was a funny guy at school and stuff, and my friends told me I was funny, and I never knew. I was at university, and I found out you could just do comedy. I was like, what am I going to do with my life? And I thought, you can do comedy. I didn't realise. I just sort of think for like American actors and stuff
like that. Yeah, similar to what I thought too.
And then, so I thought, I'm going to just go give this a go. And so I went, and I was like, I signed up for this gong show. And I went, and I didn't have any material, obviously. But I didn't even write anything down. I know this sounds absurd. I was just so excited about doing it, and I just thought I was funny. And I just didn't even think about it. And then, so I went up on stage. I remember moments before going up thinking, wait a second, what the fuck am I going to do?
And then
I went up and got gonged off in like 30 seconds or a minute, and then was like, oh, I don't know if I can. I went home, drove home about an hour and a half for about that.
To Wollongong.
And I hadn't told anyone I was doing this, and I thought, what am I doing with my life? What have I done? And then it took me a few months to build up the courage. And then I read about it online. I read about what to do and the right stuff and all this stuff, obviously. But I just sort of go up there, and I just remember going up there and going, and then obviously even not knowing what you're going to say off stage is different to not knowing what you're going to say on stage, because it's 20
it's
times
different.
More daunting,
yeah,
you know, when you freeze
yeah.
up. Even when you know your material, you can freeze up, you know. So like, yeah, so.
And so, and what was your second gig like?
Better. Much better, actually. I had a good start. I had a good start after that, a good few gigs. And then I invited some friends. I remember my third gig being very good. And I thought I'd invite some friends. And then when I invited them, it was fucking horrible.
Terrible.
And then, yeah.
But what year was that? That would have been 2000 or something? No.
No, mate, that's 19 years ago. It would have been about 2009, 2008.
What, and so now you've moved to London.
Yes.
And how long have you been here?
Been here for about a year and a half,
And it's been going well?
Yeah, I do love the comedy scene here.
I just met one of your agents you've signed with Avalon.
Yeah, I have,
They're massive. They're the big... For people that don't know, they're the big comedy agency here.
Yeah.
One of the big ones.
I feel very fortunate to sign with them. Yes, I'm lucky.
Yeah, go on.
I mean, I told you that... I signed with them, and I've been very excited, and they're doing my Edinburgh show, and they're promoting me for Edinburgh, and I've like you said, I'm from Wollongong. I went to Wollongong Uni, and I did a science degree there, medical science degree. But
not a medical degree.
Not a medical degree, just a science degree. And the reason I did that was because I was doing like some other science degree, and a lot of my friends were doing exercise science, and I realised I could transfer to this and be with my mates.
That's right. So you told me this, and so they thought you were an actual doctor.
Yeah, and currently, as we're speaking, in some Scottish newspapers, it will say I'm a doctor. It says I'm a doctor.
Of course, for journalists and radio people, that's kind of intriguing for a comedian to be a former doctor.
Yeah.
Whereas you've got a science medical degree, which means you might work doing X-rays and stuff. Is that the sort of jobs you get after
that? Well, I think so. Maybe it means I can blag. That's a very English word. I can bullshit my way through an interview if someone mistakes me for a doctor coming up to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. But yeah, I believe impersonating a medical professional is illegal.
Yeah,
too,
that's not good. But you are an example though. When I saw you tonight, you're just a very funny guy. Funny looking.
Thank you very much.
You've got a good head for comedy, as they say.
Yes.
And also, you've got a good voice. I mean, you talk about how you hate your voice.
Yes.
But your voice is quite kind of unique.
Yeah.
In a way. So, I mean, you know, I don't know if anyone's... It does sound a bit like a Muppet. Especially when you're on stage, which is not... You don't change your voice or anything, but...
I think I accentuated the touch, but I don't change it too much. I think my voice... I remember, like, hearing... Like, what... I remember, because I was a funny kid at school, and I remember, like, listening to comedy and stuff like that, and... I think because of that, my voice sort of changed this way a bit. Like, I don't think it was this accentuated. And I think the more I do comedy, the more it's got accentuated as well.
Well, your first thing you say is when you go on stage, you say, "Yeah, this is my real voice," which is hilarious. It's a great opening line.
Well, yeah. So when you think about like me being a doctor, you couldn't be a doctor with this voice, you know. Like, I'm sorry, mate. I'm sorry. Sorry, well, sir. You got cancer.
I think having a unique voice is a good thing. I know Hughesy when he got into a cab once and he goes, "G'day, mate." And the guy goes, "Mate, you can drop the voice now. You're not on stage." He's like, "No, this is my voice. What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
But so, no, it's good. And also, I was talking to the person from your management agency when you were getting the drinks for us. That you're the classic combination of. You've also got very good jokes though, as well, which is, you know, often something that's missing with comics that have a great look or a great character. But you also got very good jokes.
Yeah, I suppose that comes from the
a good writer.
Oh, thanks. But yeah, like comes from the insecurity of not thinking. I mean, although you say I've got a funny voice and funny head, but like, I really need to lend on my material. I don't like to sort of stray too much from it. It's too nerve wracking for me. Otherwise,
yeah. The stuff about pockets was very funny.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
which is a great. I won't do your routine, but it's a great observation about. Well, as you said in Sydney, you didn't really own a jacket, but now you own a jacket in London.
I liked to. I watched this comedian Jim Gaffigan once,
and I thought.
I remember seeing a bit of it. I saw him live, and I thought, I didn't think I'd like him as much as I did. But I just as
he's
far as
clean, isn't he?
He's clean. He writes. He's a Christian, and he writes with his wife, and so all these elements were like, yeah, this guy's going to suck. But like, he was.
Yeah, and he's
so
big in the Mormon
good.
Belt. He's big in the Mormon era.
Oh, is
yeah.
he? Oh,
yeah.
But like, it was so inspiring in the sense that this guy could write 10 minutes of material on a fucking brick wall, you know, and. I was like,
yeah, that's similar to what you did with your jacket stuff. Where you think, oh, all the stuff on jackets has been written, but it obviously hasn't been written.
Yeah. So I kind of like.
I do remember when I saw you on TV, you were clean. You weren't dirty. You know what I mean?
No, like, I mean I mean
everyone has elements. You had a joke about the dolphin.
Yeah,
which
I know.
Was very funny.
And I'd like to try and keep it realistic to life, so not be clean on purpose or not be rude on purpose or something like that. But you know, you end up it's hard. So sometimes when you are clean for a long time and then you do like one rude joke, it can stand out too much. You know, you're like, fuck.
I think it's okay to have some. It's okay to have some stuff like that though. You
like
know
the
what I mean?
The
yeah,
dolphin joke.
Yeah, of course it's fine. Because that doesn't define your whole act.
I mean, yes and no, yes and no. That. But like, yes and no. Like in today's, and I'm not Harvey on this, but like, you know, like I sometimes worry about that joke because I'm like, what am I saying? Not what am I saying? Like I you're a comedian and you can see that it's French
just
and absurdity.
A funny joke. Yeah,
but
yeah.
What if someone says to you, are you saying that you?
Yeah, you have sex with dolphins.
Well, the joke is,
joke.
I said dolphins are the only other mammals on the planet that have sex for pleasure, and I said, well, not the one I'm fucking. We're trying for a baby. Well, I put that bit on the end because I thought, like, someone said to me, what are you saying? Are you condoning?
Yeah, see, I don't like dirty material, but I reckon that's very funny. I reckon that's dirty. I reckon everyone's got a little bit of material like that. That's very funny.
Well, it's just meant to be playful and absurd, but
yeah.
I hope it's reached enough absurdity,
it.
But like, I mean, right, wrong time,
Ooh.
wrong gift,
yeah.
someone might
yeah.
say.
But you've also had a bad experience because you
I
had
have.
That whole bloody rape, the rape debate in,
I did have that.
How long ago was that now?
It was about 4 or 5 years ago, I'd say, yeah.
So what if people, your opening joke used to be, and it was a very good joke, and it was based on your appearance and
well,
the fact that you're
Jimmy Carr. I found out Jimmy Carr on his special, on his Netflix special, so it's on Netflix, has the exact same joke, exactly the same, and so I didn't even realise this at the time. This is now, so I don't know if he had it at the time. I don't know what or if it was just
you
parallel.
Had it first,
but he's got it about he looks like a pedophile, so he does the exact same thing, and then so it was just.
You do the joke. If you're fat, you can do fat jokes.
It was more about race in Australia, so I'd
yeah.
do like because I'd subvert their opinion or whatever or their point of view, so people would assume that I was going to do because I am of ethnic appearance that I was going to do.
Well, you're Lebanese. Are you Lebanese?
Yeah, I am. So they would assume that I was going to say I could do wog jokes, or I could do ethnic jokes, or I could do Lebanese jokes. And instead of that, there was a whole context around that. At the same time.
There was these massive court cases with.
I was unaware of that, but at the same time, I was totally unaware of that in the Melbourne. That was more the Melbourne sort of parameter.
Oh, really?
So that's kind of what screwed. So, but what was part of the social climate in my comedy circles was, it was a period of time where. This might sound a bit crass, but doing a rape joke or putting rape into a joke was seen as as not trendy, but like it was cutting edge, and it was starting comedy, and I was like, well, this is what people are doing, from Sarah Silverman to Amy Schumer to Tina Fey to Louis Bill C. Burr K. to Louis C.K. everyone. So, and to my contemporaries as well, around to people I was working with. And so I my take on it was I tried to do a meta comedy joke, which was you know, if you're black, you can do jokes about being black. If you're gay, you can do jokes about being gay. So yeah, I can do rape jokes, and that was it. And it was drenched within absurdity in this.
Yeah.
In within but my also, set.
It, when you did that joke in Sydney, someone was telling me it would go so well that you would sometimes look at your watch because people were laughing for so long at it.
Oh, I would, and then I'd say, "How am I going for time?" That would be my arrogant.
Yeah, but then so that was your opening joke for a long time, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it was. I was sort of like put it as it was like a challenge, not a challenge, but like I was like, I'll open with it. I'll do this as an opener, and I never got a complaint in my comedy in my life ever. And like, if you see my whole set, and if you see me within context and intention, you can see.
Of course.
But on this one night, this person
and Melbourne got offended,
took it wrongly, and she was a gender studies student, and it was at a time where there was, this was at very early stages of like this wave of feminism, before the wave of feminism sort of hit. So no one really, however, there were a small amount of people making a living off being sort of like these sort of extremist feminist writers, and she was trying to launch her career doing that, and she used that as an example.
And it just blew up out of proportion. It's ridiculous.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. So, I mean, I'm talking about it quite trivially now and like quite jovially, but like,
yeah, at the time it would have been really.
I mean, not even at the time. I only stopped seeing a therapist about it fucking a few years ago.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
To be honest with you, yeah. I mean, I sort of swing between complete anger towards the person and journalists, and sort of feeling a bit of guilt and remorse for the situation, and I sometimes think, was I so privileged that I don't realise how my words could offend people. But then at the same time I think, oh fucking, I don't have a...
But also the intent of the joke is not nasty.
None of my intent of anything's nasty. Not, and I'm desperately insecure, and I only really want to make people laugh. Like, I never would like to do something that would offend people or make that. Like, I'd only want to make people laugh. So,
but this is a classic thing, the problem with social media and the internet and everything. People just jumped on the bandwagon. They didn't understand the joke. They didn't understand
it wasn't
the context.
Even that. It was like, I mean, this is crazy. I'm going into it a lot now, but look, this person had posted it in some forums, and these people had decided to start this up. So there was like about 8 or 10 people.
Yeah, right.
And I knew it straight away when I started getting these messages. I was like, this person was like by themselves on the night there, and there was only 20 people in the room. Like, and this person was by themselves and was almost ejected from the night for being so disturbing to every one of the acts on. So I was like, there was no way they would have 8 supporters. How are they getting these 8 supporters? And then from that, some comedians started to support me, and then from that it blew up, bigger, and then the media saw it, and then this journalist who was trying to sort of make a name for herself wrote an article with a clickbait headline, and then due to the Melbourne Comedy Festival starting and due to the clickbait headline, it just all sort of took off.
It's a pile on, as they call it.
So it was.
So no wonder you're a bit gun shy about dolphin jokes.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I had a good line before. I thought I was I had a good grasp on my sort of like being silly and yet cheeky, for lack of a better word, But now I sort of, I second guess myself a bit, and I don't want to do wrong by anyone.
You basically don't want to have that similar experience again. Fuck that.
I definitely don't want to have it again, because then it's not an anomaly, and I'm a bad person, you know.
And is that one of the reasons you moved to London, or?
It isn't, but what I have noticed from being over here is my career is really good over here, and not that it wasn't good in Australia. It was good, but, and it might be just due to the Australian marketplace as well, being smaller and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's disproportionately good over here. So I can't help but feel like, upon reflection, that, yeah, maybe it did affect me a bit in Australia.
Yeah.
Certainly probably did with the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
But
which is where an act like you would sort of break. Because you'd get a good word of mouth, the festival would get behind you, they'd put you on one of the galas. Look, you know, you see it with, I mean, Ronnie Chang was a classic example of someone who worked very hard, but was also right time, right moment.
Yeah, definitely.
Similar to you, and that he had a very good character and very good jokes.
Oh, it's very kind of you to compare me to Ronnie Chang, who one of the biggest exports in Australian comedy, but yeah, thank you.
I'm sure he's a fan of yours. I'm sure of it. I'm positive. We'll ring him now. What are you doing, Ronnie? Send me Ronnie. But anyway, you're in London now.
I'm in London.
You moved in with your wife.
Yeah. She's a school teacher.
See, it's a decent job.
She's a good person. Yeah. Yes. She likes. I mean, I've sort of I go for the path of least resistance a lot of time in life, and she had a very cushy job around the corner from our place in Sydney on the beach and a primary school.
Sounds
there.
Ideal. Where and was it in Sydney? In Manly.
Clovelly.
Oh, beautiful.
And yeah, and then. And she worked there, 5 minute walk to school from, and now she has a 45 minute commute, and she's 45 minute commute, and she got called an old hag, but she loves this school. She loves helping the children. She loves it. She loves helping.
What a good woman.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So she's a good person, better than me.
So you'll probably stay in London for a long time.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, the longer it goes on and the better. I mean, now I'm at a point where I don't know how what I would do work-wise if I went back if I left here. So,
yeah.
I mean, I always like to think of it like I like working here much better, but I love the lifestyle of Australia.
Well, that's a thing you'll miss. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why it's always, or like, you know, Melbourne's always up there, maybe number one, or we could demote it to number two, but like Sydney's still there and Brisbane's still there. And so they're always in the top 10 livable cities because your experience of life is so good there. Like, you know, your disposable income at the end of the week, you get to go out for dinners and all that stuff. Yeah,
London, do you find it hard living in London?
Yeah, it costs money to fucking breathe in this city for some reason.
If you had a lot of money, it'd be all right.
It's all right. If you have a lot of money, the world's your oyster in this city. I'd imagine the same would be New York as well, but...
Yes, exactly. But, or Paris, any of those big cities.
Yeah, but it's fucking, you know, you're spending just leaking money.
Yes.
Walking around.
Well, on the debrief with Dave O'Neill and Ray Badrum here in London, Old Blighty. We'll be back after this. Hey, this is Dave O'Neill.
And Glenn Robbins.
And we do a podcast called Somehow Related.
And we talk about two random topics that you wouldn't think were related, but in actual fact, they are.
Yes, it's a great podcast. We love it. We listen to it ourselves.
Come along, join in. Don't bet, don't gamble, but
don't
learn
Google
something. And if you go to a dinner party, you've got a perfect way to start a conversation.
So many facts to bore people with on this podcast. Tune in, Somehow Related. All right, we're back on the debrief. Ray, I asked everyone these questions. What went well tonight with the gig, and why, I reckon?
What went well with the gig? Oh, fuck. I mean, I would probably sign that off at an 8 out of 10. I thought it went well. I thought there was no problems. So that's what went well.
What didn't go well?
It was hot. It was too hot. Oh, it was too hot, and I was sweating. And I know
so
it's weird
hot
to say that in London, but I reckon in London you can add about... Oh, if you're from Australia, you can add, like... 4 degrees to the temperature to what it feels like.
It's humid here.
Well, you know when they say on the weather, like I've always, it's always annoyed me. It's like 24, but it feels like 25.
Yes.
Like I don't even understand the difference with that.
No.
Isn't the temperature? Isn't that meant to be a measurement of
how
hot we feel?
You've got a science degree. You should be. I've got an arts degree. What would I know?
But isn't the temperature? That's what we see that as what we're meant to feel.
Yeah,
like,
true.
Why have that? You know. It's like saying it's fucking 7 o'clock, but it feels like 8 o'clock. You're like, what the fuck's the time? Is it 7 or is it 8?
Well, that's my next... Any organisational hazard's got in the way. And I think They don't have any aircon here.
No, they don't have air conditioning here. They don't. It's. I mean, Melbourne's a bit different. Melbourne's a bit more of a normal city in Australia, I suppose. But like,
Sydney and Brisbane, Sydney's the same.
Like when it gets cold though in Sydney, you don't know what the fuck to do. The places aren't ready. You know, you're buying heaters and shit like that. You've got 12 blankets on. You know, you don't know what to do. Like Melbourne, you're ready for either kind of temperature. You know, and here. And it's not ready for the hot, and yeah, so it's sort of opposite.
And how can we do better next time?
Bring an aircon. Bring an air conditioning fucking system to the whole of Angel Comedy, and
I don't know.
I don't know, man. Maybe a few more dolphin jokes in there, I'll say.
Now, Ray, I was talking to you before about your web series. Can people still see that?
Yeah, it's on Comedy Central. It's comedycentral.com.au.
And what's it called?
It's called No Experience Necessary. And I put ads in the paper saying, would you like to be in my comedy series, No Experience Necessary?
And you actually got people off the street.
Yeah, and we've got a large people. It's just right up here, sorry. Sorry, I'm just... just right. That's Jardine Road just there.
And you actually ended up making a sitcom with these people.
Yeah, so each episode's me auditioning a different person, a different bunch of people for a role, and then the last episode's me.
Very funny.
Yeah, I was very happy with how it turned out. Just on the left here, wherever.
Now, do you stay in a Holiday Inn? What is this place?
No, this is my...
This is a block of flats.
Well, yeah, that's my flat just there. Holiday Inn across the road.
Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Dave, thank you
very much. Ray Badger, ladies and gentlemen.